My laptop crashed just when I came. But I'll just try and remember what we shared about last week. And I think we probably got to maybe verses 8 to 12 last week. And yeah, I think we had quite a lot of good sharing last week. And I think, yeah, this whole chapter and bridge chapter is more about encouraging Paul encouraging Timothy, because we said, you know, he, you know, because of the persecution of Paul in the church at the time, and you know, also Timothy, we said, you know, he was, you know, quite young, and you know, he would have maybe felt a bit lonely, and so Paul continues to encourage him to continue, you know, being steadfast and in the faith and in his walk as well. So the first verse we read verse 8 about, you know, remembering about the Lord Jesus. And I think Paul is also kind of you know, using Christ's example that, you know, we mentioned he was the seed of David, so you know, he's very the human person, you know, all the difficulties he went through, you know, how he went across, you know, he died for us, and according to the gospel, and using the Lord Jesus as an example, we know that he rose from the dead. And Paul goes on to say that, you know, because of, you know, he's treated, you know, as a prisoner, you know, to the point of being in chains. Yeah, the gospel is not chained. And I think this is also quite an encouragement for Timothy, because, you know, it shows that it's, you know, God doesn't rely on, you know, him, his one person, and, you know, God can use other people. And we spoke, you know, about how in the past, you know, we had missionaries sent to China, to preach, and, you know, some of them, you know, actually gave their lives, you know, for mission, you know, for their missionary, life, you know, not just in China, but all around the world. And sometimes God uses these situations for like revivals to bring more people to, you know, come to know him. And then Paul talks about in verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect. And we talk about who the elect were, and Uncle David mentioned that, you know, they're the, you know, God's people, which always starts from, you know, with the Jews. And then they're also, you know, applied to us today as well, because, you know, we have, you know, God's saving grace, you know, his life. So we are, you know, part of the elect as well. And so Paul goes on to say that, you know, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And then we talked about verses 11 and where Paul says that, you know, if we died with him, you know, we shall also live with him. And yeah, verse 12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. And I think this, the discussion last week, I'd never really thought about reigning with the Lord, isn't it? We normally think, oh, you know, we've been saved. And that's something that's, yeah, I was kind of reminded of last week about reigning. And I think that's as far as we got to. But when I was reading the verses again this morning, the verse 11 where we read, if we died with him, I don't know when we read this, you know, how we understand that, because for those of us who've been baptized, this is one thing that we always, you know, you know, be told, you know, we live with Christ, we died with Christ, we resurrected with Christ. But I don't know how people understand that verse, that, you know, we, you know, if, and if God's, you know, if we died with him. So, yeah, that's just one thought I had this morning when just rereading these passages.
There's a gap here. So I just wanted to share this before sharing on 11, what it means to we have died together. So 11, 12, 13, if you read the English, you will notice first the word is faithful, okay? So it's concerning the words of God. It's faithful. It will not change the promises of the same. will not change. So there, you can read it in this way, okay? The word is faithful. Regarding what? Regarding, first of all, for if we have died together with him, we shall also live together. Verse 11. And this word is faithful also refers to verse 12. If we endure, we shall also reign together. The word is faithful. If we deny, he also will deny us. The word is faithful, verse 13. If we are unfaithful, he abides faithful, for he cannot. So these are very important things for us or for Timothy to realize what it is, what Paul is talking about. It's concerning the word of God, the promise of God, or the word in general, is faithful, okay? It will not change. And so there are several ifs. Verse 11, one if. Verse 12, two ifs. And 13, one if. So it is concerning the word is faithful. So I think there are other parts of 1st and 2nd Timothy talks about the word of God, or the word faithful. God is faithful. So it's for us to lay hold of this, it's almost like a declaration of the truth, isn't it? The word is faithful, and we need to lay hold of this. So if we have died together with him, so Christ died 2,000 or over years ago, and none of us have died on the cross with him when he died on the cross, okay? So this will not mean the physical occurrence when the Lord died, we died with him. Only we saw the Lord dying on the cross. So what does it mean by we have, if we have died? So we have to refer back to Romans 6 and other passages, Galatians, to know that this is not the the occasion we died, like physically, we died with Christ on the cross. So what it means is that spiritually, we ought to have died together with him. When he died, we died with him and together in him. So we finished, as it were, this old Adam. We died together with Christ on the cross. And we shall also live together. So this naturally will not refer to 3 days later Christ resurrected. So this will also mean this, which follows, we have died together with him, we shall also live together. It means that our life is resurrected life, because Jesus resurrected 3 days after his death. So, but this tense is we shall. If we have died, and we shall also live. So this is in relation to if you have died together with Christ, and we shall live. So it's not so much of a in future, we will live, we shall live, we will be resurrected. Rather, it's a definite thing. If we have died with him, we shall, today, we shall, or when we believe in Jesus, we shall have lived together. So it's very much a declaration of facts of what happened. So verse 12 of our saying and 13 is true. These are the words of God. It's faithful for us to lay hold of. Okay. Yes.
I think here it says that so it's the step with him that is important, because you know, if we don't have Jesus, we, in our human nature, we don't have the spiritual life. We are dead. But if we don't come to Jesus, to die with him on the cross is also not helping the situation, because we know only Jesus' salvation can let us go through the impact of the dead life. So I think here, these three words, like verse 11, 12, and 13, like it has been pointed out that there are if. So I think, especially for me in verse 13, it says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. So I think we as human nature, we always like in a viscous cycle. So
we first believe in the law, or we have the freshness, and then we learn to follow his learning and his example. But gradually, with things happen in our life or our struggle, our own problem, that has sort of drifted away from God's path. Because I think here, this is like a continuous process where we need to keep coming back to the Lord. Because it says, if we suffer, if we believe not, that's of if. It sort of indicates to me that we as human have the weakness, that sometimes we just lost faith, or we just lost sight to what we saw Lord. So I think, I think also in verse 14, it says, put them in remembrance. It's like we need to be reminded that sometimes we are not walking in the right path with the Lord. So these verses are here to encourage us to continue to walk with Him, because we know that He is faithful. What He says will not change. What we do will not also change what He says and what He wants to do. So, what I'm trying to say is we need to learn how to really be still in Him and walk in His way. I think it's important to have the consistency to walk in the Lord, then only we can grow in Him.
I just want to add on. Verse 11, we should live together. That is with Jesus, isn't it? We don't live on our own or apart from Him. So since we have died together, that is a joint to Him, with Him in death. That is Romans 6, I think. We all should have read it before we got baptized. But then this deny, verse 12, does it mean that we will have our salvation will be denied? No. Because it says, verse 12, we shall also reign together. Now this, if we endure, we shall reign together. If we deny, He will also deny us. So this is, I think, referring to reigning together, reigning with the Lord. To be the small king, since it were. He's the big king. It's true. I mean, to reign with Christ is not, it's like an opportunistic thing. It's not opportunistic. The Lord will see to it whether you are fit to reign with Him. But what about if we don't reign with Him? What happened to us? Well, I personally, I think the Lord will still want us to reign with Him, but we have to learn to endure one day when we see Him. The Lord may say to us, at the moment, you can't reign. Well, learn. I give you opportunity to learn. Even now, today, if we are not fit, as it were, He will give us opportunity to learn. I'm referring to the kingdom, the millennium. And there, many will be kings with Him, small kings. But many will be. So according to some servants of the Lord, they say, maybe at that time, those who cannot reign with the Lord, they will learn. The Lord will give them opportunities to learn how to reign with Christ. Maybe the 13 gives us some help, because He abides faithful. Even if we are not faithful, He abides faithful. To me, it means that we still have a chance.
So I suppose just reading through this and everything, I guess like what Paul is passing on to Timothy sounds like what Timothy is that Paul has kind of held quite true for himself in terms of how he kind of this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, and this is why I'm carrying on and everything as well. And I think a lot of these, like, if you kind of read through each of these individual parts, it's like quite clear. There's definitely, there's an interesting interaction between, like, him and also us. So in terms of what the individual saying, for if we died with him, we should also live with him. Then I guess there's that, like, there's a bit of a, you might know, is an oxymoron. Is that the right term in terms of the English term? Why it's like the opposite, but it's the same.
I can't remember exactly what it means.
I guess, like, there is that. And then also, there's also, like, if we endure, we also, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, we also, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. So what's quite interesting is probably the last two, actually, for me. So, like, if, in terms of if we deny him, he also will deny us. We are faithless, he remains faithful. So that's where some of the stuff, there's a bit more of a difference there, because I guess, like, it kind of touches on a bit of the negatives, in terms of, like, if we kind of don't fulfill our side, then there's two parts. So if we deny him, then he will also deny us. So in terms of, like, our walk with God. But then the second thing, which is quite interesting, is also if we are faithless, he is faithful. So I think that is quite true of God, where God doesn't change. Whilst we may be a bit more, I guess, like, we can fluctuate, God will always remain faithful. And I think that's quite striking to Paul, and it's been very, very important to Paul. And I think especially with Timothy and everything that's going on regard to the wider church, it's necessary that everyone learns this lesson, I guess. And I guess it's the same with us. In terms of our own, like, daily lives, it's quite easy for us to fluctuate. I guess it's not in, like, high pressure environment that they're living in at the moment. But then in terms of our own lives, where things can seep in, or ourselves can really seep in, it's quite easy to forget all of this.
I agree with all the sharing. And see, Uncle David mentioned, like, the first part, if we died with him, and if we have quit. Well, I can just read out in Romans chapter 6, maybe we just read verses 5 and 6, 5 to 7. So Romans chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. And this is kind of referring to the baptism. Maybe we start from verse 4. We have been buried, therefore, with him by baptism unto death, in order that even as Christ has been raised up from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we are become identified with him in the likeness of his death, so also we shall be of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, that the body of sin might be annulled, that we should no longer serve sin. For he that has died is justified from sin. And I think this is just a reminder that, you know, having come to know the Lord, and if we commit ourselves to him, you know, we're also, you know, dead to our sin. And, you know, obviously in our, you know, with our human nature, we still have this, the fall of man, but we know that, you know, the Lord covers our sin, and that was just one point that I thought. And then the other one was about, you know, if we deny him, you know, he will also deny us. I think we touched on this maybe last week, that you know, we know that even Peter denied the Lord three times. And so I think this denying him isn't, it's the final denial. I think we, you know, I'm going to take the example. If someone points a gun to his head, I think that's like towards, you know, either towards our end of our life, or if the Lord comes. I mean, if we're at that point, you know, if we still have denied him, then, you know, he will deny us. But in our life, I mean, if we have fallen, we wouldn't find ourselves in that situation. But like Peter, you know, we know that Peter cried, but he had the humility, and, you know, he regretted, and, you know, he we know he sobbed, and he was very remorseful that, you know, he denied the Lord, and, you know, he went back, and, so, you know, God kind of, kind of helped him recover from this. And I think Danny also mentioned a good point, like, in verse 13, where it kind of reminded me, where we know that, you know, the, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I mean, he never changes. So, you know, we can, you know, be, you know, very lacking in our faith, but we know that, you know, he's always, you know, faithful, you know, and, you know, he can't deny himself, and we have, you know, all the promises of his words in the Bible, to encourage us. So yeah, just a few points.
People are thinking, verse 12, if we endure, which follows verse 11. So we have resurrected life. We have, as we read in Romans 6, we live together forever. We have eternal life. We abide in Jesus now. So if we endure, that is referring to, I think, when he comes, isn't it? We shall also reign together with him. If we endure, referring to when his kingdom comes. Yeah. Okay. Now, but how do we endure? How do we endure? It must follow verse 11. We endure. How is it that we can endure? Particularly for Paul in the dungeon. This 11 is so important. The word is faithful. If we have died together with him, we shall also live together. So Paul was facing death actually soon, I think. Very soon he will be executed. And he is referring to that. And we endure to the end. Because we have eternal life. We have died together with Christ. I mean, everybody died physically. I might be the next one, I don't know. to go home, heavenly home. Yeah. But so it's encouraging us, encouraging Timothy. Endure. We have eternal life, even though we may die or be executed by this Nero. Face it right to the end, because I think so often when we ask people, our brothers and sisters, endure when we have difficulties, we cannot help them, can we? Except comforting, encouraging. But it is the life in them that helps them to endure. I mean, none of us can escape from difficulties in life, or in the church we have difficulties. But a few of us left because they couldn't endure the hardship. But the enduring is the life of the Lord. I hope we all endure to the end the life of the Lord. And me too. I've endured nearly 50 years here. Just the life of the Lord in me. I'm now here still. I would have gone many, many years ago. Let's encourage one another to endure because of the life of the Lord in us to overcome. We can be overcomers as our brothers, as our sister came share a few weeks ago. Okay.
I'm not sure what it says about Raymond, and then only mention about the denial. And just now Alan was sort of saying that, like an example is when the person is about to die and before that he had the salvation and then he denied the Lord at the end of his life, whether this person is still safe or not. I think there's a saying that once you are safe, you are always safe. So you are always in God's kingdom. I think here could it be that if the denial is related to the overcomer or the reward that are mentioned in Revelation. Like, I think last time, Antipran also mentioned about, is it going through the test of fire, where what is burned and what is remain is there. I'm just wondering whether verse 12 is, the denial is referring to the rejection of the unsafe part, or is related to the overcomer and the reward during the revelation time when Jesus comes back. To me, I think it's more related to the reward thing because these three words sort of encourage us to endure, to be faithful, and to do things for the Lord. That sort of idea, like we know if we are the overcomer, we can reign with him. But if we have not got a good break in doing this thing,
then maybe we are not the king, but maybe we are the servant of the king. I don't know. These are a bit mysterious. Like there's a different grade in the future when Jesus comes back, whether we are sitting close to the Lord and reign with him, or we are sitting very far behind in the group of being the king in the kingdom.
I kind of agree with Kim, but I think if we're you know, that salvation can't be taken away. It actually reminds me, Anna had a book, I think it was written by a girl, you know, of, you know, her, you know, what would happen, what she saw, you know, when the Lord came back. It was kind of all imaginary. I can't remember the name of the book, it's quite interesting. And it was, you know, I still remember not the exact book, but about, you know, how, you know, when we end up in the kingdom of heaven, you know, people were just queuing up to worship the Lord, and, you know, we're being presented by our crowns. And then depending on, you know, the life, you know, some people have bigger crowns or some have more small crowns, depending on how they live their life here. So I think this is kind of what I see. I don't think there's going to be like a servant there or different there. We'll all be kind of rewarded, but it's just, you know, depending on how we live our life. Yeah, that kind of reminds me of that. When we're talking, or Uncle David's asking the question about enduring, it reminded me actually what Carson shared last week about, you know, how he always puts his family first, like serving dinner, and prioritizes, Joseph, and, you know, before he starts eating himself. And I think, it kind of reminds, you know, me that, you know, if we want to endure, you know, we need to have the, you know, obviously we need the light of the Lord. But I think it's also helping us to deny ourselves, you know, he denied himself. And we need to have that heart as well. We need to, you know, put the Lord first. But I think sometimes that's difficult. You know, we need that new God's life for us to endure. And, you know, as we said, you know, we, a lot of times we need, you know, all the qualities of the Lord, like patience, you know, enduring long suffering. And that could be anything. It could be our work, or, you know, our family, our friends. And yeah, we just need that, you know, that's the heart of the Lord, to help us.
So we are quite sure this is not that we would not be saved. Okay. I think there is something going on in the world in Christianity, is that you are once saved, you are not always saved. Okay, that is not obviously. That was the that was a doubt cast into our mind regarding our faith. So we need to be careful. So this is not to do with salvation. Even Peter denied the Lord three times. He repented, and the Lord used him still to feed the lamb. So it's not about salvation, but it's about, you say, reward. So what kind of reward do you think you want to get? But then this is, he would deny us, not deny us of the reward, but deny us. So I think if we read it like that, it is to reign with him together one day. Not so much of something or some tangible rewards, but this person, us. The Lord said many things about how we can reign with him if we are in the gospel, if we are faithful in small things. He will give us big things to govern. I mean, we are faithful in governing one city, will give us 10 cities to govern, to reign. So it is not something too difficult, I hope, because if you are faithful in small things, he will give you big things. You'll be faithful in big things. So it's not something beyond every one of us. I mean, we are serving here in the church, and some of us serve in different ways. We are all serving. And therefore do not think your role is so small, it's, you know, the Lord will oversee you as if the Lord will not notice. I think we just have to be faithful in our service, whatever it is now. Remind us that the word is faithful. The Lord wants us to reign with Him and not to be negative, because verse 11 is very positive. Okay, even until verse 12, the beginning, we endure, it's very positive.
Like I remember once Francis Chan, who says a pastor in America, he once gave like an example of our Lord. So like our Lord is our Savior and our Lord. So it would be like someone coming up to him. So you have to accept both, right? You have to accept him as your Savior and your Lord. And as an example, Francis said that, oh, it'd be like someone coming up to him and saying, Francis, you're my friend, but can you stop being Chinese? It's like, you can't, you know, he is both a friend and Chinese. So it's the same principle, the Lord being our Lord and our Savior. You can't have just choose and pick one, because, you know, obviously if you don't make him your Lord, then there's you're saved, but there has to be a relationship between you and him, and you're under his authority. So, we're his responsibility too. But if you're not willing to take that, you know, if you're not willing to let him take that responsibility, or if you're not willing to learn before him or walk before him, then there's no relationship with him at all. So I think that, this part when it says about us denying him, it's a not knowing, like it's a not knowing, and it's the knowing is a relationship. It depends on both parties making the effort, and I find that, you know, it's like me and Karina, like you got to have that relationship, otherwise that communication, that period, those periods when there's difficulties, are we able to overcome those challenges together? And if you just give up and just say, oh, I don't want to do it, oh, I don't want to deal with this, then there's not much of a relationship there. If you're not willing to communicate with one another, there's no relationship there. If there's no love, there's no love between us, then there's no relationship. So I feel like it's sort of just reminding us, as very much like the 10 virgins of the lamps, like half of them came full lamp. It was full with oil, and the other came with half full. And I think it's sort of a good representation of our hearts. So like, if we seek the Lord fully, or if we're seeking the Lord half-heartedly, so, you know, that sort of brought to mind that parable that the Lord gave, in Matthew. So, to me, that's what it means in verse 12, especially the part where it says that if we deny him, he will also deny us.
Just refer to the Lord. Jesus is your Lord. You're not just a Savior. If we deny him as Lord. Is that right?
Yes.
And regarding husband and wife, you cannot deny each other. Why? Because you are joined together. You can never, never ever say, I want a divorce. There's no such thing. Okay? And the relationship between husband and wife is in Ephesians 5, you know, representing a type of the church and Christ. It's a love relationship, mutual support, and helping each other to walk in the ways of the Lord. Endure. Well, marriage, Christian marriage will endure until the end. Brother Eric once shared with us, Eric Wu, a Christian brother sat next to someone on the plane and started talking with that person next to him, and then asked him what you do. And he said, I'm the pastor of the Church of Satan. And he was taken aback. This is in America. I'm sure in this country as well. This Satan church. And then this brother asked him, this pastor of the Church of Satan, so what are you doing then? What's your role as a pastor? And what is the vision at the moment? He said, our vision is that Satan wants us to destroy all Christian families. So it's very plain. So that's why we have so many divorces, even among Christians. destroy them. And if we destroy husband, wife, there's no testimony. So we say, oh, you know, you're Christians and you don't love one another. You just break up so easily. So, it's by the by. I want to just because Carson has brought up this point of a husband and wife, you know, so enduring is, you know, a very positive thing, isn't it? It's like we, you know, when two people come together, they don't know each other much until they got married. And then you start realizing that to build this relationship, husband and wife, it needs to be like a pivot together, isn't it? Pivot. Do you know the word pivot?
Moving sideways.
Join
together.
Yeah, you know, not by nailing, please don't nail your partner, join together. But, you know, the Chinese have this way of yapsun. They join together the wood, the male part, go into the female part, the wood. Yeah? So, it's how it's built, joined together.
I think that's a bit sidetrack, and Auntie Polly might have something to share.
Go on, Auntie Polly.
Thank you. Don't worry. I mean, brother and sister can share first. I might have to, you know, quickly just go through the few points, you know, or the few verses before that, but not take too long. Reflect. Verse 7, you know, chapter 2, verse 7, reflect on what I am saying. So whatever, you know, Paul actually saying at that moment of time, ask the Lord will give Timothy the insight to do all this. So for us as well, you know, we really have to reflect. We really have to come to the Lord to ask the Lord to open our eyes to see. And I'm sure just now brother and sister share a few points already, but verse 8 is not just, you know, about men. It is about, you know, try to ask Timothy to fix his eyes on Christ Jesus, our Lord, our King. And, you know, the verse 8 has 2 points in here. It's very important. Remember Jesus. And remember Jesus in what way? Remember Jesus raised from the dead, which is he has the resurrected life, and he won over death, and he won over Satan. And, you know, he also the descendant from David, it is, you know, king. We talk about David a lot of times, you know, in the New Testament, probably, you know, maybe referring to he's the king. And and that is the two things very important. Why? Because at that time, we all know that he's very dumb. But we might not mention about why he's very dumb. Obviously, you know, because of all the things that surround it and the things that he sees. And one more thing as well, it is what we think sometimes, though, it will be our weakness as well. According to men, we might think that, you know, we believe in God, we're supposed to be blessed, and we're supposed to be, everything's you know, good happen. God's supposed to be whatever we prayed for, and then, you know, God will be with us, God will help us, God will do things for us. And then, you know, what Timothy see now, you know, no matter if it's within the church or no matter if this is what to his mentor, you know, or his spiritual father, he's going to be beheaded. And what he actually saying at that time, you know, and what is he going through? The downcast, be choosing God, and my spiritual father choose God all the way faithfully, and at last, you know, and all the 中国人话, you know, the 收场, it is like this. So it is, don't forget, it is just, you know, religious. We just being religious and think that, you know, if we belong to God, we will be blessed in man's way. It's not in man's way. It's not all that, you know, it is, you know, going good and doing well. Especially, you know, you choose God and then you have that kind of the ending in man's eyes, I'm thinking of. And then now in here, I think, you know, Paul actually asked Timothy to fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the king, no matter what. You know, even so that we cannot see in our life that, you know, he will be the king, but he will be the king. And he is the king of the whole, of the whole universe, of the whole creation, put it this way. And he actually won over Satan. And don't forget about the resurrected life. And then, verse 9, and mentioned about, you know, I am suffering even to the point, you know, being chained. So men can be chained, but, you know, God won't be chained. Generation by generation. Like what just now, you know, brother saying that, you know, brother Eric, you know, saw people like this. You know, Satan would like to, you know, just destroy, all the testimony of the Lord. But Satan won't, have the success because that we have our king, that, you know, Jesus already, you know, won over. And, you know, and he will be coming back and he will be the king. And that is something that it is very important when we actually suffer, especially for him. Just now mentioned about some suffering, but I mean, last week, you know, brother and sister mentioned about their suffering because they chose God. I mean, the sister and brother would like to, you know, share the gospel. It's not something that, you know, which is, you know, people that, you know, they might be very comfortable with. Or perhaps maybe, you know, sister mentioned about, you know, Sunday school, that which is not really what, you know, she might be comfortable with, you know, with the children, with, you know, the teaching, you know, those rebellious, you know, little ones. So, you know, all this, we chose God and we choose God. And we're choosing God, we suffer. Just now mentioned about, you know, put him first. How are we going to live, you know, our life? All this will be, you know, in, you know, all these verses. We already, you know, experienced some. We might be experiencing some. Or perhaps maybe we are experiencing it. And don't forget, you know, about all this. And then verse 10, it is very, very clear. It is, you know, why... Last week, you know, brother mentioned about, you know, remind us about, you know, the purpose of we are elected, we are being his people, and, you know, the purpose of, you know, being called. And, you know, in verse 10, I mentioned about, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. So probably at that time, it's a lot in his mind would be the church. That's what I thought. But, you know, obviously, you know, with God's people in the Old Testament, of course, as well. And then they too may obtain the salvation that it is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, why talk about eternal glory in here? And, during this week, you know, we mentioned about a few points in here. And, you know, a sister actually reminds me that, which is that I was like that before, that yes, we are saved, you know, and we know that we have to share the gospel, and we have to, you know, we probably, you know, would be called, you know, to share the gospel and things like that. But a lot of the Christians would be stopped by, you know, our sins be forgiven and forget about the glory bit. The glory bit, it is all we talk about, you know, from verse 11 to verse 12. It is, you know, if we die with Jesus together, and then we will be reigned with Jesus together. A lot of the time we probably, especially I was the same, you know, I think, you know, when people actually talk about glory, I shut up, you know, I shut, my mind might be shut because I can't actually imagine. It seems to be too high, you know, for me to reach. And, you know, I kind of, at that time, probably not really understand. I mean, to be honest, not understand. It doesn't mean that I understand now, but, you know, and more, you know, through a lot of the sharing with brother and sister, from brother and sister, and then, you know, through, you know, reading the Bible, reflect on what he, you know, God actually say to us again and again, and a little bit better, you know, to find out we're not actually stopped by just, you know, be saved and, you know, our sins be forgiven. But, you know, it is another place that which is the end point will be the glory, which is the eternal purpose of God. And if we just now, you know, mention about Romans, there's another verse that, you know, I actually thought of. It is Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Probably it is a very, very good echo, you know, to these few verses. And Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Now, if we are children, and then we are, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. So Christ is still, because of through him, then we are the heirs. And then indeed we share his suffering in order we may also share his glory. We are called. It's not only just, you know, our sins to be forgiven, just to cross the Red Sea, but, you know, that's a abundant life, that which is, you know, to reign with, you know, the Lord. And the whole chunk of, you know, after we saved, and we still have a lot that which is, you know, we are looking forward for. And just now mentioned about, you know, and being the virgins, and mentioned about, you know, just put him first, and mentioned about, you know, the relationship. Just now, I think, you know, brother mentioned about relationship with the Lord. All this will be in, you know, included if we choose God and put him first. Always. Not actually because of any circumstances that we can see, because men can be drawn by what we see, what we can feel, what we can, you know, touch. But we now have the Spirit. And, you know, because we have the Holy Spirit, we can actually, you know, communicate with the Lord. And we are not only just live for ourselves, and we live for the purpose. The purpose is the eternal purpose of God, that, you know, he will reign one day. And, you know, he wants to live with us. He wants us to be heir. He wants us, you know, to be united with Christ, and, you know, the church will be the bride, and we will be, you know, reign with him. And I remember, you know, brother actually used the word overcomer for the last two times. And, you know, yes, just now, you know, probably mentioned system, either ask a question or mention. I totally say amen, that which is nothing to do with salvation. I don't think it is anything to do with, you know, whether this person's safe or not. And now in here, it is, you know, we are in the kingdom. And how are we going, you know, to, through the test, and, you know, one day we'll be reign with Christ. And 11, saying die with him. It's not actually physically die with him. I'm sure, you know, brother and sister know about that. So just now it's not really sharing about this. It says how we live our life to suffer with him. It's not just, you know, things that because of we are sinned, and that it's nothing to do with we are sinned and then we suffer. It's nothing to do with that kind of suffering. This suffering, it is like Paul, like Timothy, like those people who want to be the good soldiers of the Lord, and they want to be part of the testimony, and they just be, they, the aim to be overcomer, and one day we'll be able to reign with the Lord. And this kind of suffering, we're not talking about all different types of suffering that which is caused by men, but, you know, if you choose God and you suffer with him, you have a mind that, you know, not like men think that, you know, you know, we choose God and then, you know, we will be blessed. This is a religious, you know, thinking. It's not like that at all. You know, in here, remind us and remind Timothy. And Paul would like to remind Timothy, don't just look at, you know, the things that would surround us and then think what men think, but remember who called you. And remember, if you are called, if you want to be still continuously on this way, that might be something that, you know, this is our part. And then carry on later on, you know, from verse 14 onwards, to talk about, you know, how and what to do, things like that. But these two verses, if we suffer with our king now, we're willing, we choose him, we suffer with him. And, you know, he remember. And, you know, if we don't now, then, you know, probably you won't be reigned with the Lord. I think, you know, brother and sister, you know, already, you know, bit by bit, you know, try to say that. And verse 13, and saying that we are not faithful, nothing to do with we are faithful, this verse. It is God's nature and Jesus' nature. It is he's faithful. He remember, and whatever he purpose, our God purpose is what it will be done at the end. No matter we are in part of it or not part of it, what God's purpose, it will be done. He can't deny his nature. And, you know, that's how I actually feel about, you know. So, I think, you know, perhaps, you know, brother and sister have a lot of the experience, you know, how to suffer with the Lord for him. And, you know, we think about that. And especially when we are done, or maybe now that we are actually going through something for the Lord, and sometimes, you know, Satan wants us to give up, don't do it anymore. Because, you know, a lot of, you know, unnecessary criticism and a lot of the things that, you know, you know, it is man-caused, which not really, you know, from the Lord. And, you know, and sometimes what is something that which is God allow, all good things from the Lord, you know. So God allow, you know, and difficulties happen to us. If we choose him, we still live our life choosing, he knows. And, you know, perseverance. But this is the perseverance, you know, be good soldiers of the Lord. Don't give up. And, you know, if we are, you know, sort of a little bit down, or, you know, we are kind of, you know, a little bit away from the Lord, and, you know, or maybe, you know, something that which is God actually remind us again and again we should do, something like that, but we have to suffer, then we have to think twice, whether, you know, if it is for the Him, if it is for Him, okay? We choose him. We just learn to choose him. And, you know, we will more and more to see how the Holy Spirit works, and also more and more to see, you know, what the Lord actually, you know, in purpose for us.
Right, Alan, I'm going to put you on the spot a bit. Because I think there's a lot of good points shared. In terms of all our sharing and everything then, I think where you've kind of taken us has just covered quite a significant part, or like, is there like a bit more of a point that you wanted to kind of bring out?
No, I think we
No, but as in like, in terms of like the I guess like it's a general theme, it's like this thing, was it like a particular like bit that you really wanted to emphasize?
I think it's, you know, how we see ourselves in within the church as well. So, you know, where, you know, our parts, and, you know, I think, you know, from sharing it is, you know, a lot's coming out. And yeah, even what, you know, Auntie Pauline shared, like, you know, we're, you know, God can't deny himself. And I, you know, even, I'm not articulating myself very well, but I remember, I think one of the brothers, was sharing with us once that, you know, the hard battle was already won, like the Lord Jesus, you know, have died for us, and, you know, the victory is won. Now we're on the final stages, and it's almost like Satan is using the scorch earth policy to try and destroy everything as much as possible before the Lord's return. But, you know, God's victory is already there. And, you know, we just have to be strong and, you know, live our life. And, you know, just as we shared, you know, no matter what happens in the world, you know, as we read, you know, God's words can't be chained. You know, ultimately he will, you know, use all means to bring people to come to know him. So I think that should be, you know, like a quite comfort for us. I mean, I think also when, you know, obviously we still have our role to play. And I think when I read this, it's quite comforting, for me, you know, when, you know, sometimes I think back and like sharing for the Christmas, you know, gospel message with quite a lot of pressure. She only had the family members who only come like once a year. But then, you know, I know that it's not my ability to share or what I share. It's, you know, it's, you know, ultimately God's working in their hearts that can, you know, bring them to know him, you know, whether it's our sharing or maybe the hymn singing or the fellowship time, brothers and sisters. So it's not, you know, God's not using one person. And even, you know, when we look back at, you know, my life, you know, God's used a lot of different people to bring me to the point to know them. So I think the fact that, you know, whatever happens, God will carry on his work, and he won't deny himself or his promises. I think that's quite reassuring for me.
Yeah, So I guess like I'm gonna like take a load of steps back actually. So the only bit I'll probably add is when you mentioned Peter's denial.
Yeah.
So I guess like in I don't know if it's the same denial or if it's a different denial, but I guess like it is. The circumstances were quite different, but I guess like Christ was actually there in person and everything. There is also there's always that reflection from Peter in terms of after he denied him three times, that's when he kind of realized what he had done, and there was definitely some learning from Peter there. In terms of ourselves, it's similar, but it's also different. And I think, like you were saying, Christ's work will continue regardless of like whether we deny him or not. And it's whether we are able to take that step and endure and actually not deny him, I guess. And that could happen in very, very different ways as well. Because I guess like, you know, when you were saying like when about like, you know, the Christmas sharing and everything, there's a choice there, isn't there? Like, do you want to face 100 people and kind of like do share? Or if God has given you that message, but then if you kind of not do it, then someone else will eventually still step up, have to step up anyway, and share a different message. But I guess it's like, it's whether your choice, whether you want to, it's our choice, whether we endure with him as opposed to whether we, deny him a part of it as well. I mean, like, similar back to like Kim's point, actually, if I kind of just jump around a little bit, like, I think Simon shared something quite similar, in one of his messages that kind of made me answer like quite a similar question when he was talking about like I think one of his earlier sharing in terms of when we kind of make that choice or not to cross the Jordan and everything, there's a part of it, it's like we can't really sit on the fence. And one of his statements that he kind of said was around like God saying that he doesn't know us as part of it as well. So I guess like, I think that kind of did strike me a bit that like when we kind of do, there's no such thing as like after you've accepted Christ, that's where the journey ends. There is definitely that ongoing experience of us, you know, being part of that journey with God.
Yeah, there's a lot of sharing. Even just on the three verses, 11 to 13, I think definitely verse 11 is very clear. It's about our salvation. And then we read from Romans, so it's quite clear. And I think John 3:16 is a verse that we are all very familiar. We can recite it. And that is clear. And it's remembering God's word. And it's coming back to God's word. And that is clear that in our salvation, once we believe, we are saved. And that's it. And Satan is good in putting a little doubt in you. And a lot of people, I mean, I included in the past 12, it's like, am I safe now? Am I not? Because I deny him. But let's be reassured, God's word says clearly, you know, once saved, you are saved. And it doesn't matter how bad you behave, if I put it loosely. Obviously, God doesn't want that. Yeah, I mean, that is sort of to the point that, you know, the salvation, our life being saved, and we are the children of God. That is kind of like, if I may say, part one of the journey. Obviously, you know, like, I can say that as a dad, as a parent, you know, for many of us here, you don't want to just give birth to a child and just stay there. Let's say Emily, for example. 10 months' time, you still want her to be like that? Or, you know, like Joseph or Samuel, if they're just born like the day or the moment they were born, like, you know, that little thing, you know, ugly thing, sorry. Yeah, and just say that. How many parents or how many mothers in particular want to see that? None. I can guarantee that, isn't it? Even though I'm not a mum, I'm only a dad, staying far away till he was born. But I still don't want him to be kind of remain that state. So saying it's for God, for our salvation, that when we are saved, it's not just be a kind of, what do you call that, baby? Infant, whatever, yeah, or little child. God wants us to grow out. I think we didn't. I think Paul did pick out a verse we didn't kind of read. God wants sons, not little child, little baby. And for what? It is to reign with him, like what we read in 12. that reigning, then, you know, they sort of, all three verses here talk about if. So it's like Daniel sort of saying, there's a choice that we need to make. So at the beginning, at the start, we need to make a choice. Do we want to believe in God or we don't? And that is a clear-cut choice that we have to make. So for us here, I mean, we make that choice. Then it's moving on, isn't it? And it is to go through that journey, shall we say, learning, grow up, to be trained, you know, as sons, to reign with God. And I don't know, I mean, when you talk about the word enduring, and Alan always bring up kind of like the example of people suffering in China and all that. Yes, very encouraging example. But what about for us? You know, I was sitting here and thinking, now, how many times have I denied the Lord? Too many, I can't remember, right? And I was thinking, now, this is in the past, so some of you may not know, but many of us will know. Give you an example, all right? So, lawsuit, we go there for dinner every week, all right, in the past, yeah, every Sunday. Right? So that is like week in, week out, yeah. So it's like 4 weeks in a month, go for dinner. And most of you know, I have the keys, all right? So I give you an example. So summertime is fine, you know, like go there, open the door, go. Close up late, the last one to leave, no problem. Come winter time, I tell you, it's a struggle. Yeah, because it's where is that everybody has gone, and I can tell even Matthew complained at the time. Dad, why do we have to stay until the last one, right? Why can't we just go like everybody else does? And I can tell you, there are moments in my heart like, yeah, you know what, I should go on too. Okay, so there was. Not many, so I'm very thankful the Lord knows, you know, how limited I am. So I give it, so one more time, in the deep of winter, really cold, pack out, everybody left, go home, I went home too, and then there's a phone call, say, oh, can you see this? A bag or two bags or whatever left behind. I was in a rush too, I want to go home too. No, I didn't. Oh, I can't find it. Can you go and check it? I've just changed. And so there's a struggle. The me part, the flesh part says, why can't you just remember your children's stuff? And then there's the Lord really quiet saying, just go, all right? They live miles away. You live 2 minutes from the center. You can't even do that for your brother or your sister, right? So that's enduring. Yeah. Carson, take up the example of the 10 virgins. It's similar. So we all want to be the five wise ones. Do I want to be the five wise ones? Of course I want to. But at that moment, what do I add? The foolish one. No, I don't. Yeah. So some choice. You know, we talk about the life of Christ in us manifest, you know, for others to see. In that moment, can I do it? I have to say, there are many moments I fail. It's like, oh, yeah. All right. Okay. Then I go out of it. Yeah. And is that similarly? I can say this as well because you all know I put up chairs, so I more or less know where people sit. But I can also tell you, in our learning, some learn well, some don't. It's like I don't want to sit next to him. Don't put me there. And I think I get that. And these are little things to me. You know, how would the Lord look at us? You know, you can't even sit next to your brother. All right, he's a bit smelly. Be grumpy, but this is the choice we need to make. Are we willing to endure, you know, put up with our brother, smelly brother, or grumpy brother? The Lord put us together today. It's for a purpose, so that we can, what do you call each other? But it's for us to be kind of shaped, molded into His image, isn't it? So quite often, you know, I read the testimony of those brothers, you know, or sisters in the past, or even present suffering. I'm thinking, you know what, they give up a lot. But what about us? You know, our life is quite easy. You know, every time I think about, you know, we can come to meet this way, when I think about, not that I know much, but when I hear, you know, bits and pieces of brother and sister, even, you know, the sister who came from China a few months ago, talk about how difficult it is even for them to kind of gather together in China because of the communists and all that, you know, the watch. For us here today, we don't have any of that. So, well, we're just taking for granted. A lot of times when I think about that, I was thinking, the Lord knows me. The Lord knows us. It's like, what is the word? You are made of what? I can't think of this. There's a saying, isn't it? We are so weak. We are made of water. It's like, boom, you just melt, isn't it? You're not made of stuff that is tough. So So we think we are easy, you know, yeah, we think we love God, but do we? When there is a little bit of challenge comes or difficulty comes, will we still? I mean, I'm ashamed every time when I think of that. And I think that's what the Lord kind of give me, you know, let's say something to do, and it's to test me, to try me, and to see that, you know, summertime, yes, it's easy, I can go down there, you know, it's warm, it's nice, it's bright, in the middle of winter, when it's pouring down rain, are you willing to do it? I'm not. Then you carry on, until you've got no complaint, rain or snow, sun, you know, sunny or not. So, I think brothers and sisters, don't think it's such a big thing, wow, I have to be sitting on the nail bed or whatever, then only I am choosing God. It's everyday life, every little things. We talk about relationship. I can tell you at home, even though it's only Auntie Polly and I, but there's so many times I can tell you when she says something, I'm like, but, yeah, right? But I'm very shameful, but a lot of times I'm just like, why? You know, the words come out. Yeah? And then the Lord say, yeah, you said the life of Christ in you manifest. And what is that then? Yeah. And then I feel like, okay. No. Still learning. I know. Uncle Simon say, you never say your wife is your cross. I thought I was like, she's definitely the bigger cross kind of thing. But it is true. It's, you know, the salvation bit, I hope we are clear. You know, it's not that, you know, but it's the next thing. This is a key thing. And every time I think of it, I'm really thankful. We talk about 13, if we are unfaithful, God is faithful. And just now we say, you know, what God's purpose, He will bring it to pass. True. I also think we are privileged. God wanted us to have a path. I know as a dad, when Matthew was small, you know, a lot of times he's kind of tried to, I call it, get in my way to help me. I'm sure all of you know that, you know, especially those of parents. You can do that thing like 2 minutes or less. But when you get a little one coming the way to help you, it takes more than 2 minutes, shall we say. At the time when I was going through it with Matthew, you know, just stay there. I can do it. Kind of thing. But then I want to help you. If God were to be like me, God would have finished his business long ago. Yes. But he did not want to do that. He wants us to have a path. You know, his work would have finished, well, I suppose before he started. But he did not want to do that. He wants us, he loves us. Not only, you know, gave us his life, but he wants us to go through this journey, shall we say, in verse 12. The enduring thing. You know, we call it enduring, but, you know, have we ever thought that God can do even far more? But he still wants to go through that with us. And he wants us to reign with him. So think it like that. I know I'm sharing this. I'm reminding myself. You know, when I go away, a minute after God says something, I'll be like, but God wants us, you know, to be really kind of molded and shaped to be in the image of his son.
I think maybe I'll just end with, I remember Carson shared quite a good story about, Judas and Peter. I mean, they both, denied the Lord and, you know, Peter went back, because he, you know, he had that, kind of spiritual remorse and, you know, he went back, to ask forgiveness and, you know, God kind of recovered him, but whereas we know that Judas was more physical regress, and he never went back to ask forgiveness, and said he hanged himself. So I think as long as we're all going to fail in our walk with the Lord, whether we deny him or in our testimony or in our walk, I think as long as we have this heart to go back to the Lord and he would forgive us and, and then allow us to kind of move on because we're all fallible and, you know, we have that human nature. So, yeah. And just we know that, you know, God can't deny himself and he will, you know, forgive us if we're truly, repenting. Maybe we'll end here, and we see. Do you want to end the prayer?